Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
To the regular Thursday night radio broadcast for Uplifting Us Economic Development Cooperation. This is Dare to Win. Thank you for being with us. And our subject this evening, the black economy and the black church. Is there a connection? Stay tuned with us as we discuss this exciting topic. Welcome once again to Dare to Win. This is the place where we have sober conversations about how to build and maintain the machinery for economic self-determination and pass it forward to future generations. Uplifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is proud to welcome you to its regular Thursday night broadcast. And our subject this evening, once again, the black economy and the black church. Is there a connection? So please stay with us and stay tuned in. And if you want to join and be a part of our conversation, we really encourage you to do that. Those of you who are dialing in on your phone, your call-in number 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your dial at any point in time that you have a question or that you want to make a comment. Those of you who are using your computer or other electronic instruments, www.upliftingus.com. www.upliftingus.com is the website that you want to go to, and then click on the Ulu Radio tab, and from there click Listen, and you can join us. Dare to Win is the place, as I said before, where we have those sobering conversations about the economic plight of black people and the imperative that we build a global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. So we're very pleased to be with you this evening. We appreciate all of our listeners who call in. And today, our guest that we have with us is Pastor Terrence Hughes from Denver, Colorado. And he is the pastor of the New Covenant Christian Church, Alpha and Omega Ministries. He is also the former president of the Greater Metro Denver Ministerial Alliance. And so we're very pleased and excited to have Pastor Terrence Hughes with us today to help us to walk through this subject and to have some meaningful dialogue around it. Pastor Hughes, would you like to say hello to our listening audience and welcome them?
Thank you for having me on, Sister Nanana. And it is a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this broadcast and just to be able to speak to this subject and share what little knowledge I do have and understanding in this important area of economics, our community, and the church.
All right. Well, thank you. And Pastor Hughes, I think you're being modest. I really think you have a lot of knowledge in this area. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to share. And for those in the listening audience who've not heard my voice before, I am Sister Nanana. I am a board member with Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, and I'm always honored to have the opportunity to host on the Thursday night radio program. So we hope that you all will continue to dial in on Thursday nights and to hear what we're talking about, because we're always about the business of going deeper into the subject of what's happening with our community on the level of economics and what we need to be thinking about doing and doing differently in order to improve that. So let's just jump right into that subject, Pastor Hughes, if you're ready to talk about that. But you know, I'm going to back up even a little bit more before we actually get into the subject. Pastor Hughes, would you give us a little background on yourself and some of your history and your work with the church and in the community?
Sure. I've been here. I'm located in Denver, Colorado, and been here coming up close to 40 years now. And I've always been in a servant role. I like to tell people all the time, I was a man before I was a pastor, right? So I don't separate community service from my pastoralship. And so I'm deeply embedded in the community, always have been. I've always been part of collectives in doing things. I believe in collaboration, people with like minds coming together to achieve goals, especially in the African-American community. So that is a little bit of where I started from, also with doing a lot of education, HIV/AIDS education, and also mental health education around issues around black men and anxiety and these types of things. And so those are parts of my, as I would say, but the word is escaping my mind. Some of the things that I do, I'll just put it like that, clinically. But then when it comes down to our church is unique. And the uniqueness of the church, and I told you I believe in collaboration, our church actually is two churches that came together and merged. So we brought our resources, our energy, our visions together and merged in the community to do a greater work. And that we believe that really is the way it's supposed to be done. There's a lot of separation in the black churches around the country, but we believe that God led us to come together and to do the work that we do. And so we do a lot of work of serving in our communities. We serve the least in our communities, from food to shelter, clothing, you name it, we do it. And so that's what we do ministerial-wise. My association as the past president of the Greater Metro Denver Ministry Alliance, that organization is now a 79, going on our 79th year old civil rights and clergy organization here in Colorado. And it's not just, although it's Denver, but it's the metro area. So all of the metro cities of Aurora, Lakewood, Commerce City, anywhere where black folks is and black folks' issues are, that's where we are. And so we serve on a multitude of areas from economics, from clergy issues, from educational issues, you name it, we serve in those capacities. And so, like I said, it's been over 79 years, and it's been through that has not always been the name. It once was the East Denver Black Minister Black Church Initiative. So we've had several different names over the years, but it's the same organization, 79 years and going strong.
All right. Wow. Well, it certainly sounds like you've not only had experience in the community, but you're continuing to, as you said, to serve. And so we're really pleased to have someone with your background to help us to start to pick apart and kind of understand what might be going on with this subject we're talking about tonight, specifically the black economy and the black church, and where that connection is and what that connection should perhaps look like. And to kind of get us started, I just want to remind our listeners, particularly those of you who have access to your websites, if you look on the ULU website, www.upliftingus.com, and click where it says 10-point appeal and plan, you will see on the 10-point appeal and plan, and these are basic foundational premises that the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative is built on. Our first premise, as black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and nations. In other words, self-determination is the major founding piece. And then second, black persons and black institutions, especially the black church, join together as members in a large-scale, cooperatively owned business enterprise to pool our resources. And those of you who know about cooperative economics, you know that the first step in any co-op process is that you pool your resources. So with that said, I'm going to ask you to get us started, Pastor Hughes, and I'm going to ask you a question. What do you see as the role of the church in the economic welfare of our communities? How do you see that?
How do I see that? How do I see
the church?
Well, I think that is an evolving role more than anything else. There's a historic role that we've played, right, that the church has played historically. But and there's that was a time when the church is what we had, right? So we could take it back to a couple things. Back to enslavement days when the church was allowed to meet for a various amount of time, and then get back to them fields. But during that time, it was always they were able to come together. Once we got off those plantations, that unity of staying together, of building, still came together. The church was one of the focal points, or one of the main focal points, because there's also this piece of camaraderie and trust that's embedded in community and churches back then. And so it was a matter of you had the church, and then you also had your other organizations, maybe fraternal organizations, for lack of a better term, who would also come together, fraternities and so on, and would pool resources for the banking, for the entrepreneurship, for all that. And all that was great when all we had was each other and the church was what it was. But there's also that time when we came to a point in history when desegregation happened and we start having black flight. We start having black flight.
Mm-hmm.
And with that black flight, we stopped pooling our resources together, right? So we can point back to Black Wall Street, and we can point back to other areas where we've owned towns, but once really the destruction happened, once we became under terroristic attacks in Black Wall Street, terroristic attacks in Alabama and Mississippi, terroristic attacks breaking down neighborhoods, breaking down these institutions, then with desegregation, we ended up with a place where we no longer had monies that we were pooling together. We were no longer relying on each other as we used to do. We weren't doing that any longer. And so the church has found itself in an interesting position. It's not monolithic. So it's not monolithic. It is in a place now where you have two trains of thought, which has gone into a separation of our financial stability. So one pool of thought from I'm just talking about the Christian church at the moment. One pool of thought is our role as the church is to uplift and get people to heaven, get them focused on their heavenly body, their heavenly destination, get them focused off their sins, transformation that way. And anything else political, we ain't got nothing to do with it. That's one church. Then you have the Black Liberation Theology Church. And that church is, those churches are more community-minded, they're socially-minded, they're economically empowered-minded, but still yet we have a disconnect in our communities because of some historical distrust, and we can't get away from ownership of some unsavory things that have happened in churches and where people will not trust with their monies. So there's a lot of issues at hand, but I do believe the church is in a position to start to bring back that oneness in community. But it starts with trust, it starts with a plan, and it starts with understanding what economic justice is. What is economic justice? Why is it important for us to come together as one? Some people say capitalism is a bad thing. I'm not a huge capitalist. However, I do understand the need to make money, but not at the point of exploiting your brother and sister. So when we come together, we have to come together in an area where we're not exploiting each other, but we're supporting and uplifting and building each other. I said a whole lot. I'm sorry.
What? Don't be sorry. My goodness. Certainly your thoughts and ideas and your perspective are the things that we're interested in. So I'm appreciating everything that you're saying. And let's go a little deeper into that, because I want to ask you now, with that history and that background and that foundation that you've given us of, you know, where we used to be with the church, particularly the Christian church, and you said that you see the role as one that's being evolving. Can you give us any examples of how that evolving role is being fulfilled? You know, either something that you're doing yourself in your church or others that you're aware of, how is that evolving role being fulfilled that particularly affects our economics?
Well, first, let me start with my church first. And like I said, our church, actually, when I said we merged together basically a more middle-class church and a more lower impoverished church as far as economics go, right? When we came together, mm-hmm. we had a lot of more middle-class folks and folks. My ministry has always been in the streets. has always been with people who are on the margins, right? And so bringing that together, there's one unifying factor between folks on the street and folks who consider themselves middle class, and that is both have to unlearn the negative aspects of community that they have entrenched in their brain. And so what do I mean by that? I mean that both have learned to distrust each other. Black folks as a whole, I'm talking in a generality, so certainly I'm not talking mm-hmm. about people like yourself, Sister Denata, because, you know, you and I go way back with community. However, in the vastness of community, black folks have learned to distrust each other. They've not learned what community means, and they don't know what supporting each other means. So cooperative economics really is a foreign term to a lot of black people. So even when they hear buy black and support black, for them they're slogans. For a lot of people, it's another slogan, like they're being preached to by a million other slogans that come across the TV, because they don't see the impact with themselves. We've been so disconnected from each other that we don't understand the impact of not supporting each other. So in our church, we had to start from the place of a teaching model of what community is and how do we support each other. Why is it important to support the dentist in our church? Why is it important to support the young lady who does braiding hair in our church? Right? Your church is a community. Often we just look at church as church. No, it's a community inside a community. And we have to start learning how to, so we had to start teaching them about connecting the community inside community with the greater outside the community of black folks. And so we encourage entrepreneurship amongst each other, supporting each other's businesses, supporting each other's events, being a community of support financially, emotionally, spiritually. But that uh-huh. financial piece is important. Without the you can't do anything in community without finances. So we're a church that serves. When I said we do clothing, we put people in hotels, we do all kind of stuff. Well, we can't do without money, right? And we're not a money generating organization. But if our people are healthy financially, then they're able to contribute to help the greater society, right? And so that's why we're. I'm sorry. So that's how we connect the dots with each other. But it's a process, and it wasn't a quick process, because we had some people who pushed up against it because this isn't what they were taught. This isn't what they believe in. No, I want to hear more Jesus. I don't want to hear nothing about the politics. I don't want to hear about what's going on, what the economic issues are. I just want to hear about Jesus and for my 30 minutes and go home and go to sleep. Because I'm okay. Because I've already did what I did with my life, or I'm about to retire, or my finances are fine. See, it's that me mentality. So we have to stick to what we believe, and we have to continue to teach, talk, and demonstrate these principles. So if someone has written a book, like, for instance, my son-in-law wrote a book. And we had a day when we just did it was basically a book fair where we encouraged everyone to purchase his book. And those who couldn't purchase his book, me and the other pastor purchased the book for them. So he could understand, okay, I need to give back to these other businesses in this church who are working. He wasn't used to being part of a family like that. He comes from a dynamic where it is dog eat dog, just take care of me and that's it. But once he was able to be embraced and understood, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Pastor Hughes, you said something very important a minute ago, and that is around our disconnect. That unfortunately, part of what has happened to us as a race, as a nation of people, is that we have become disconnected, and sometimes that disconnect is to the point that we don't fully understand the impact of the disconnect. And so I thought that was a very key point that you made a minute ago, a very key point. So, and for our listeners, once again, 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your dial. If you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make this evening, we're having dialogue with Pastor Terrence Hughes from Denver, Colorado. He's the pastor of the New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries, and we're talking about the Black economy and the Black church and what is the connection there. Now, Pastor Hughes, let's take one other question, and then maybe we'll take a little break. But there are those who say that there are more churches in the Black community than in any other community. And they make a correlation between the number of churches, the sizes of those churches, and then look at our economic status, and the question becomes, why is it that in these other ethnic communities they have less than half of the churches or the religious institutions that we have, but they are obviously progressing past us as far as financial stability is concerned? So how do you see that particular dynamic, and what's the reason for that, at least in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, they kind of make a false equivalent. Folks who are different faith groups who have not been through chattel slavery, that have not been through that dynamic, are not in the same mode as those of us who have. And so we are fighting against a number of psychological pieces that keep us from prospering, coming together. Now, one thing I said earlier, I said there was two frameworks of two mindsets, and I said one is more about the spiritual aspect of things, and not considered with the finances piece. Well, in that dynamic also, we may have a lot of churches because people are trying to find God. They're trying to be in their relationship with God. And oftentimes in that place of finding God or looking for that place with God does not mean that they actually are prospering financially already. Meaning they may not have there's churches all over the place, but those churches ain't necessarily doing very well financially. A lot of them do not own their own property. A lot of them are in places where blight is all around them, and because they're focused on that spiritual piece, they don't know what to do around the economic piece. And so so I say that's a problem that is there. And I think those other religious organizations or that are not from our dynamic per se don't face that. They already have a little bit more of a communal understanding. They haven't been turned on each other like we have. And there is some, like I said, you cannot take away the issues that the Black church has had with some folk financially, which leads to mistrust. He gonna steal my money. He done took grandma's money. You know how many times I've accused somebody taking somebody's grandma's money? And they didn't even go to my church. and they didn't go to my church. You know, you took my grandmama money. No. You understand? You don't understand what we do. We help people. But there's been people that have been hurt by people who are charlatans in the church. So that's a problem. So we have to heal that, and we have to hit that head on too. There has to be accountability. back in the church for people to want to come together financially. So that's one piece you got to heal. And I believe that I believe that aspect of our enslavement plays a role in our mentality. For those who are the perpetrators of misdeeds and those who are victims.
Okay. That certainly, you know, is a very accurate description of a lot of what many of us have experienced, for sure. So I appreciate you putting that right out front. And we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to dig a little deeper into this subject and talk about you know, what a real connection and real concrete things that churches might be able to do to really help to uplift our economic conditions. So we'll take a couple of minute music break and be right back with you. Welcome back, and thank you for being with us on the Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative regular Thursday night radio broadcast. I am Sister Nanana. I'm a board member of Us Lifting Us, and I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to share in the discussion this evening, where we are talking about the Black church and the Black economy. Is there a connection? And we have as our guest this evening Pastor Terrence Hughes, pastor of the New Covenant Christian Church, Alpha and Omega Ministries in Denver, Colorado, where we're starting to pick apart this subject. And I see that we have a caller that has a question, and we're going to take that question in just 1 minute. For those of you who would like to ask a question or make a comment, the number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your dial. So caller, last four digits, 8912, caller, please tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then give us your comment or your question. Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Brother Thurman. I'm calling from Richmond, And I thank you all for having the call, and the subject that you're dealing with is one of the very vital subjects that we delve in depth about. And my question is related to the fact that there's a continuous and brutal war being waged on our people, and we need to be together for sure, as Pastor Hughes has talked about. And it concerns me and many others that there's a big flight of young people that are leaving that will not participate in the church, as well as there are a lot of sisters and brothers that are also leaving, and they're seeking African spirituality. And that's a question that the people really need to hear, to have answered, and because it's in a direction that when we can resolve the issues of the why, then it'll help us to be more in connected and unified. And we got to be unified in order to survive the chaos that's being waged upon us. That's my question, and I'll listen to what you have to say about that.
All right. Thank you, Brother Sermon. Thank you for your question. Pastor Hughes, would you go ahead and address that question for Brother Sermon? Thank you.
Could you clarify that question for me a little bit, Sister Nanana? I heard it, but I heard it more of a statement. So could you clarify the question, please? I'm sorry.
I believe what I heard Brother Sermon asking was about many young people leaving the Christian churches and embracing indigenous or African spiritual worship systems. And what do you see as the impact of that? And, of course, we're talking about the subject of economics and how that might affect. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got you. So here's my thought on that, and that is, once again, I said that the church is not monolithic. Now I'm not just talking about the Christian church. Now I'm just talking about the church in general, the black church. So whether it's traditional African religions, whether it's the Nation of Islam, whatever it is. So just talking about the black church as a whole now. It's not monolithic, and as a community, we have to start to mend those grounds to come together. We have to have the focus on building up our community. You should not have to lose your identity, your religious identity, to prosper or to survive in this world, right? They should be one. And I think that we need to get away from that separation piece where, well, I can't work with you because you ain't Christian. I can't work with you because you're not this, you're not that. No, we have a common theme, and that's the melanin in our skin. That is our ancestral history. And like Brother Thurman said, we're under attack. They ain't just attacking Christians. They're attacking folk of all religious perspectives if you're black. And we have to understand that. We have to look at our communities right now, and let's go to some of our more inner-city areas, where the blight is just unconscionable. Well, they didn't care how it got there, but we have to come together as one to start to heal our own communities, right? So I believe that is the key. Yes, it's true that people are leaving the Christian church, and that's okay. I always tell people all the time, find God where you need to find God. But your community is your community, and God is in your community. As long as you're in your community, God is in your community, and you have power. And we have to start exercising that power we have as children of God. And I believe once we start to get away from that divisiveness, and we start coming together as a whole, and we teach unity. We teach unity. My history with Brother Jeff here in Denver has perplexed a lot of people. Brother Jeff is a Muslim. I'm a Christian. And we've worked brilliantly together for years, 4 years, doing community healing, doing community work. Because it ain't about my religious perspective. It ain't about him. It's about our community. And I can go to a mosque. I can go to any mosque in Colorado and be at home. Brother Jeff can go to any church in Colorado and be at home. It's about our community. And that's what we have to get people back to focusing on. So if we want to have economic empowerment, we first got to come together as a community. And we got to bring that back into our children. We put too much divisiveness in our children. We put too much materialism in their upbringing. And a lot of them are trying to get away from it. They're trying to find God where they can. Some of them go back to their natural, from our ancestral roots. That's exactly where they find it. And that's great. But we got to break down these barriers. We got to be willing to talk. We got to be willing to be open with each other. And we got to be willing. I love what is your slogan, Dare to Win? We have to dare to win. We have to dare to win our communities back. We got to dare to win our homes back, our families back. Ooh, you're excited. You're getting me excited. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, and I can hear the excitement in your voice and the commitment as well that you're a doer, that you're not just talking the talk, but you're truly in the community walking the walk. So thank you so much for your response. And Brother Thurman, I hope that I rephrased your question appropriately. Is there anything else that Brother Thurman that you would want to follow up with before I go on to the next caller? We have another caller waiting.
Well, I thank you for the response and just go right ahead to the other caller, yes.
Thank you. All right. We have a caller who's number 7204. Let's see if I can open your microphone here. Huh, why isn't that opening? Ah, there it goes. All right, I'm so sorry. There was a little delay. Caller 7204, would you give us your name and where you're calling from? And then we have two other callers that are waiting with questions as well. 7204,
okay.
Go right ahead.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello.
We can hear you well.
Oh, great. Thank you. I'm so glad I'm on this call. To be quick about it, I would love for y'all to clarify something that I think is in the minds of our people that I really think has a lot to do with why we can't come together, why we don't see a vision of ownership, cooperative ownership or anything like that. One of the lessons that's taught in the church is that money is the root of all evil. And they kind of drift away from that as far as a whole lot of money, you know, in which I feel that if we did have that, we could fix up our own communities, have our own grocery stores. We could do a whole lot of stuff without depending on anybody else or waiting around for anybody else to do for us. So could you clarify that meaning, the root of all evil? I'm pretty sure I know. I've studied it, and I know it's not. But thank you anyway, and for being on this call. Thank you.
Sister, would you please give us your name and where you're calling from?
I'm Deborah Jones, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Thank you, Sister Deborah. Thank you. All right, yes. Pastor Hughes, would you respond to Sister Deborah, please?
Yes. So what Sister Deborah is referring to is the text out of 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And so we understand if we really follow that, if we really embrace that text wholly, no pun intended, we would understand that we should not be loving that money more than we love our brother and sister. We should not be loving that money more than we love our family. does not say not to use money. Doesn't say not to have money. It says for the love of money. So when you, so it's how you embrace, how do you see money? I think we have an unhealthy relationship with money. I do think what our dear sister said was key for about doing for ourselves, but it's from a different paradigm from which we've been operating. So a lot of things we try to do from the church has been politically motivated from our black political leaders, so to speak. That model hasn't worked as well for us as when we empowered the community to move forward and do. So I think we need to go back to the model of empowering the community to do.
Yep.
So if you have a building in your area that's closed down, that's condemned, there should be a small group of people who are able to start to pool resources to get that building. Why? For a community center, so the kids will have a safe place to play. Brother Jeff opened up that cultural center down on Wilton Street during the high gang violence time, so people will have a place to come and play. We got to do these kinds of things. We have to take our opportunities back, but we don't do it by sticking in while we're not working together. We got to bring the like minds that want to come together. That's why I was so excited about Sister Nana, you inviting me on the show. It's not about what we can't do. This is about what we can do. And since we can start to, with the next mindset of spiritual-minded people. I'm not just talking about pastors. I said spiritual-minded people who understand in order to take care of the spiritual body, the spirit, I got to take care of this body. We got to take care of that means healthy eating, healthy living, healthy environment, and it all stems around having economic health.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Yep. And thank you, Sister Deborah, for that question.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to move on. We have two other callers. Wait, I'm sorry, Sister Deborah, did you have something else?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on to, we have a couple of other callers who have questions. Caller 4457, 4457, please tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, good evening, Sister Lenana. This is Abby O'Doon in New York. How are you?
Yes, I am well, brother, I'm well. And it's always good to hear your voice, Brother Abby O'Doon. All right.
What is your question? All right. Reverend Brother Hughes. I have two quick questions. One question, you remember about 10 years ago when we were still immersed or in the mode with the election of President Obama, and a controversy popped up concerning his relationship with a Reverend Wright in Chicago. That brother seemed to be always pronouncing rhetoric that was in concert with our needs to immerse ourselves in community building. I've heard nothing more about that brother since you're in the field. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, is it okay for me to go ahead and Sister Nana?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I know Reverend Wright personally. And.
Oh.
Reverend Wright has retired, but he's still doing the work. Now, he's from that school of thought I was talking about when I said there's two trains of thought, that black liberation theology. That's Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright's a powerful man, and his church is still going strong, you know. It was a shame that the then candidate disavowed him, but he was right, and you have to listen to all that he said in context. And he's from that other school of thought of you can do, we can do, we have to build, and we can't be waiting.
Right. All right. Let me not be delayed. I know the time is limited. Let me go down to my real question or my suggestion, I guess is the better way to put it. I'm into community building as well, but I've been sick, as Lenana knows, for the last few years. I've had to put most everything on hold. But one of the things that's been in my mind for the last few days is how much I personally prospered as a boy from the Boy Scout movement. And for as I look around, at least in New York or the East Coast, I'm not seeing nothing having to do with black children, black boys, and scouting. And to make the matter even more apparent to me is that our children who are more or less city-oriented nowadays, at least here on the East Coast, are very timid about any kind of woodsmanship or craft or whatever, which I think teaches not only an understanding of about the nature of the living God, if I can use that language, but also it teaches a certain level of resilience and understanding and maturity and so forth. And I think that may be a critical piece, especially since I'm kind of like a boy champion phobe. To building a community, we need to build strong young men who understand their responsibilities in terms of having children and taking care of wives and all that kind of business. That a natural understanding of nature would enhance that kind of thing. So I would like to suggest to you that as you move forward in your career in this area, that becomes a living part of the scenario, if you follow me.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Thank you, Brother Avi Odun, for your question and for your suggestions. And we're going to move a little quickly here.
Thank you very much. We do have
two other people waiting. So let's move ahead. 3440. Please tell us your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, greetings. This is Brother Shabaka. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Pastor Hughes, I really appreciate a number of things you said. It reflects a lot on me trying to work with some of the ministries here in Baltimore. But I do have a question for you, and one that has plagued me over the years. A number of churches in the area, in particular in the Baltimore, D.C. area, have been able to pool their resources from their membership to, to do many things, many good things in the community. But one of the things that I noticed in the pooling of the resources, they usually deposit their money into one of the large banks, on Monday and probably during the week. Members of the congregation are not able to get any type of financial assistance from these banks. Have you experienced that? And have you looked at, or if you have experienced it, to move towards credit unions, maybe church credit unions, in which you can now use the monies directly to benefit your ministries and some of the community problems that you see? And I'll wait to hear your response. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I have. When it comes down to the banking, one of the things it is my hope, it is my prayer that we're able to get back to is community banking. There was a time when here in Denver, we actually had two black banks. One was owned by a church, and I forget who owned the second one. Neither one of them exists any longer. There was a time when black banks, of course, were in other parts of the country. It wasn't an anomaly. And like you said, these churches now are pooling their money. They're having these monies, large monies, and they're putting them in the white bank. It's going to take some churches to dare to want to win for the community to pool the monies to start a bank. We have the know-how. We have more than enough people who are able to operate, who have that upper echelon of understanding of bonds and all the things it takes to go into running a credit union or bank. So I believe we need to get that structure going again. But it's going to take some daring. The problem is a lot of our churches function like white corporate businesses. They follow the robber's rule of order. They're in a place where they're not looking at community as a whole. They're looking at things from a very Caucasian European lens. And that lens is not about really a wholeness of everything. So they may be doing good works in some aspects, but they're not really viewing the community through a universal black lens, right? Through the diaspora. They're not looking for that. They're not looking in to see that. But I believe if we're able to get some to start to look to go back to that, we have guys who are on these boards and some high pastors and bishops and so, and they sit on the boards of Wells Fargo. When Wells Fargo was closing down all these black homes, they didn't leave those seats. They didn't say we will not put up with this. They were okay with being with that status. We got to get our people, our leaders, our people who have a voice, who can do something, to quit being okay with the status quo as long as it's not affecting them. So I think right now we're in a. Oh, I'm sorry.
We just got a couple of more minutes here. Thank you so much for your response. And Brother Shabaka,
yes.
I hope that at least somewhat addresses your question. And we're going to move on to, we have one more caller here who has been waiting to ask a question or make a comment. Caller 3176, 3176, please give us your name and where you're calling from. We got about 3 minutes. Hello.
Greetings.
Yes, greetings.
This is Brother, Brother Kimbezi from Atlanta.
Brother Kimbezi.
I'm enjoying the program tonight. I want to say welcome to Pastor Hughes. Glad to have you on Dare to Win. And one of the questions that is certainly uppermost in my mind, we in Ulu think that the black church has a very important role to play in the economic reorganizing of our community. What would you suggest, as a conscious clergyman and pastor, how might we go about identifying those pastors like yourself who recognize the need to rebuild our communities on a more holistic basis? How might we proceed with that? I'm sure there's a ministerial alliance of black pastors in the Denver area. What have you found to be effective in terms of reaching those pastors who have similar thoughts like yourself or similar theology, and are willing to be involved in the pooling of resources, making their members aware of different mechanisms that they can participate in to harness our dollars and direct them towards building the institutions we need?
It comes down to one relationship at a time. Everything is relationship. And so there are those who are going to be open to dialogue, open to understanding and talking to, and that's who you work with. So when we decided that we were going to do education on the new investment opportunities that have opened up for African Americans and quite frankly anyone, we went and spoke to our brothers and sisters and who were leaders and said, look, this is what's going on. This is the law that passed under that President Obama passed before he got out of office. This changed the game. Here's how you can invest your monies. Here's how you can get involved with small startups, and you can put in. But we had to share that information. But we shared it with those who wanted to hear. Of course, we opened it to the public, but we started off with those who want to hear. The Bible says, for those who have an ear to hear, right? And so that's what we did. And I think that's the same thing that you do. That we can be used across the country. Start the dialogue. Don't worry about going against the staunch person who you know don't have that viewpoint. Start talking to those brothers and sisters out there who you believe are amenable to the conversation, and start to say, well, what will this look like in our community? How can we start to share this in our community? And I promise you, it'll open up. And we're taking
thank
one small
so
step
much.
At a time.
Thank you so much, Pastor Hughes. Thank you. And thank you, Brother Kambizi, for that question. We are at the end of our time here. It's been a very exciting topic this evening. Certainly it's one that I feel we should approach again in the very near future. And Pastor Hughes, I'm extending an invitation to you as well as to your church to join Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. We do have individual memberships as well as group and organizational memberships. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be our guest this evening, and we'll probably ask you to come back and be our guest once again. So thank you to all of our listening audience. We will be here again with you next Thursday, same time. It's 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are about daring to win. And we will win. Thank you. Okay, he hung up.